Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
We're live.
Morning. When you say that, Chad. And we're live.
Brent's beatboxing over there.
Yeah.
He said, "You all ready for this?" And that put a song in my head.
You all ready for this?
Yeah. No, I was thinking with Rob Bass, DJ Easy Rock. That's the way it started.
All right. I've had these things that have been showing up in my YouTube feed, and it's total AI generated.
Stop.
No, you're not going to be creeped out by this one. It's not AI babies. It's like last night was Sir Mix-a-Lot. Mm. Baby Got Back done as like a 50s, bebop kind of song. Or there was, Metallica song done as Dark Country. And like, they're kind of good.
I heard the 50s Metallica. Like some of them are better than others.
Right.
But it's like, all right, who thought of this? Like kind of like just that they had the idea to try to do it.
Right.
Is kind of like, kudos to you. But some of them don't turn out real good.
The one with Johnny Cash doing... Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
This is not right.
Well, no, it kind of sounds like Johnny Cash singing that song, and it's very weird.
Well,
Frank Sinatra doing "Smells Like Teen Spirit" is also AI is of the devil, and it should be stopped now.
So Depeche,
that's all I'm saying.
For this one, right?
They had a Depeche Mode Violator, the whole album done in the '50s, like rockabilly style.
Huh?
And
I don't know, man.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Yep. Scary world.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
What's new, Terry?
Not well. Really, not much. I can't think of. I feel like Kamala Harris. What would you have done different with Joe Biden? I just kind of frozen the headlights there. I don't know.
Are you voting for Kamala? Tell me. What's her best achievement?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh man. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Don't go there.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, sorry for the freeze. Let's see. I did go to a doctor last week and confirmed that I don't need to have any kind of procedure on my heart.
Which it's fantastic.
I'm glad to find out that the meds that I'm taking for it are fine and should be fine for the long term, which is really what I was concerned about was, you find out about drugs that they do certain things, and then over time you find out what else they do. And that's kind of what I was concerned about was the long-term effect of taking, blood thinners and things. But I've had two cardiologists tell me now that. Well, I asked them, I said, so what is the most common side effect of taking Eliquis, which is a blood thinner, over a long period of time? And he says, well, the most common side effect is you don't have strokes. And I said, okay,
we'll take that one.
I
think the most common side effect of blood thinners is you will bleed for no reason at all. Like you need to live in like a hamster ball.
when I first started taking them a couple months ago, I noticed, because I'm outside a lot and I scrape myself with brush and stuff, and I would bleed a lot. And then after about 2 weeks, clots the same as it did before. It seems to.
So I feel like I've never recovered from being on blood thinners. That was like 17 years ago, and I feel like I just bleed for no reason.
What were you on blood thinners for?
I had blood clots after my surgery.
Oh.
Broke his femur?
Yeah, when I broke my femur.
Okay.
What were you doing when you broke your femur?
I was working hard. I was out working.
Skateboarding?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Skateboarding.
As a grown man?
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Man-child?
This was about Terry.
Okay, so you don't ever ask anybody over 70 how they're doing. You talk about all the body parts that don't work anymore and what we're doing to try to get them jump started and all that stuff. So be prepared for the answer. Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's what we have to look forward to.
That's awesome.
Right. There you go.
We notice that now when we get together with like certain friends, like it's like weather and health.
Yep.
And it's just like, I can't believe I'm that guy now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Used to make fun of those people.
Well, it's weather and health and that crazy young person generation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You always got a gripe about that. Kids these days. Yeah. Thank you.
Jesus is coming back. Definitely.
Yeah. Right.
But here we get to talk about angels and demons. and we don't have to talk about the weather.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you rather talk about the weather, Brent, or angels and demons?
Angels and demons.
Okay, good.
Okay. Well, then let's launch into that.
Let's talk about Michael Horton first.
Yeah, so much of the material today that we're talking about, angels and demons, comes from a podcast that's put on by Sola Media. And I want to kind of begin today with a kind of a commercial for Sola Media, because they're giving away a book. It's a digital download that's free.
This podcast brought to you by Sola Media.
There you go.
Except it's not.
Except it's not. But there's going to be a commercial anyway.
Right.
There's a book called The War That We Can't See, which is basically a short, it's a 70-page booklet that's downloadable for free from Sola Media. So if you want to go a little bit deeper dive about what the Bible has to say about angels and demons, you can go to solamedia.org/offers. solamedia.org/offers, and look for the free download on a book called The War That We Can't See. So now, having said that...
If this were a real commercial, we would drop that into the comments.
Mm-hmm. We would.
But since it's not a real commercial, we're going to...
Link in the description below.
Okay, so it was... So what was it, a promotion if it wasn't a commercial?
I think you did.
You recommendation.
I thought you did a great job.
An unpaid promotion. Right.
Don't even listen to Chad.
Yeah, okay. So...
So Michael Heiser?
No.
Horton.
Michael Horton.
Oh, man.
I was just trying to stir things up a little bit.
Yeah, well.
Because he's a real expert on this subject.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that I think have kind of bled over into the church, and not just contemporary church, but throughout history. About angels and demons and spiritual forces and things like that, that have just kind of morphed into the church's psyche and thinking about these things that are really don't have anything to do with the Bible. I mean, today you've got these, you know, and we can get into this a little bit later, you know, deliverance ministries and people that are appointed to, you know, deliver from this thing and that thing and the other, and people that are, you know, up to soliciting angel armies to go do this and that. And
it's kind of like the same thing that people do with God, though, right? Sure. So you've got the revealed God and the hidden God. And we all like to pick up the slack for the hidden one. Like we right. You know what I mean? Like we kind of fill it out.
Right.
And then we end up developing this God of our liking or whatever, mm-hmm. due to what we're assuming.
Sure.
And people do the same thing with, like, we're so limited on what we're given. And there's so much left to mystery with angels that we like to fill it out. We like to fill in the blanks.
Yeah. So start with this statement. Like to get your reaction to it, because all that aside, angels are real, and they're all over Scripture. React to that, and
yes.
I say I agree is not going to be a reaction. So.
Yeah, I would say angels are real, and they're all over Scripture.
Yeah. We already said that.
Depends on what you mean by all over Scripture.
Well, that's a true statement. I mean, we see them, you know, you see them kind of from the start. You know, when Adam and Eve fell, you've got a whatever that was, some gnarly angel posted there with a flaming sword to keep them from going back.
That moves every direction.
Yeah. You know, and then all through the Old Testament, you just have... Sometimes visitation. Sometimes we don't know exactly who they are or what they are, but yeah, they're part of the narrative.
We tend to think they're taboo, right? Like, oh, we don't really know that much. And then if you actually start going through Scripture, it's like, wow, there's like a lot of angel appearances throughout Scripture.
Yeah,
like there's a lot about angels.
And you don't see like anybody in Scripture debating who angels are, right? Like, you know, they're I know we'll get to this, but like, you know, they're fearful when they're seen, but nobody's like, what in the world was that?
Right.
You know.
Maybe UFAs, unidentified flying angels might be a thing.
Okay, well, before we go down that road, so to put a fine point on it, just in word count, in the Old Testament, I think there's like about 108 references to angels, and then in the New Testament, it's like 170 something. So it's from stem to stern, and the Bible has a lot to say about angels, but we tend to be like most of us, because of all the stuff that we're trying to pick up the slack about the end scene, is that we have two reactions to that. One of them is to either overemphasize what we don't know or disregard what we do know, right? It's like Luther talked about the drunk guy that gets on the horse. You know, he falls off on one side, and then having fallen off of that side, he gets back in the saddle and falls off of the other one. So sometimes, you know, the church is like that. But angels are mentioned more, are you ready, than sin and more than love in the Bible.
That's heavy.
How about that? At least in the New Testament.
When you say sin, does that include things like evil, unrighteousness?
I said hell. Sin.
Okay, it's the word sin. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, but that's surprising enough. I mean,
it's like when people say that Jesus talked way more about hell than heaven, and it's like, are you including the word kingdom in that statement? Right. And they're like, well, no. It's like, well, then, I don't know. Just don't. I'm sorry. I'm a skeptic by nature.
There's always that guy.
I'll let it go.
You know, there's always that guy.
Well, Jordan's says, not well, here, so yeah.
Get a hold of yourself.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the other thing about angels that I think it makes it hard for us to discuss in any kind of systematic way is that they're really hard to categorize. I mean, you have angels all over the place, right? You've got angels like in Isaiah's temple vision in Isaiah 6. And what do we see about the angels there?
Mm. They're weird.
How's that?
I was thinking of Ezekiel, spinning wheels.
Well, that's another one. So you have the angels in the temple in Isaiah's vision. And the seraphim, you know, flying.
Cherubim,
with the
burning comb,
cherubim, seraphim, and all that. And then in Ezekiel's, go ahead, what's the description of the angels?
Well,
there?
I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, it's just you have these spinning wheels, and you can't even, you know, I don't know what he was looking at, and he's trying to describe
UFO.
It to us.
Easily.
Could be a UFO.
Sasquatch.
I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's, no. It's, they're, I don't even know how you begin to describe what he was seeing.
Wheels and faces that face each way, and they move without moving, and
eyes
move
all
without
over the
turning
place. And then you've got faces of, you know, the lion, faces of the man, faces of the leopard, you know, all these things, faces of a bird, wings. It's like, what are we looking at here?
It sounds like someone dosed.
Yeah.
So you have. You
is that
know,
me? Oh,
know,
that's me. I'm sorry.
Like to stop
buzzing. Me. Let me stop that. Nope, I answered it. All right.
So we have.
I hung up on him.
Old man.
We have kind of from yin to yang on the presentation of angels. And then you have something that's kind of rather, I don't know, in a way, kind of interstate compared to those other two. And that's Zacharias, you know, in the temple, John the Baptist's father, when he was in the temple and the visit that he has with the angel there. And it's just kind of like a conversation, you know. So it's really hard to say that angels are like this.
Well, even if the fact that we entertain them sometimes without knowing it.
Right.
That just means pastors.
Ministers. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I thought you meant only pastors.
I think it means angels. Yeah. I think it means
well,
angels.
Well, if you assume that interpretation is correct, they're not coming as, you know, spinning wheels with eyes and lion's faces because we would,
they're like Clarence.
Yeah,
they're trying to get their wings, man, and
attaboy,
they look
Clarence.
Like one of us.
Attaboy.
I don't think that's it. I don't think it's that either. But they're obviously coming in a way that we don't even recognize that they're angels sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, what does word angel mean? We should talk about that.
Messenger.
Messenger. Right.
Messenger.
All right. Very good. And I think is it well? We'll put that aside. So. They are messengers, servants of God to deliver God messages, you know, in something. Where do we see that happening, where they're just messengers?
Well, I think it was just the announcement of Jesus.
Right.
Right.
His birth, his resurrection, and his ascension.
Yeah.
All three.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if we just stop and think about that, angels, you have announcing the birth of the Savior, at the resurrection of the Savior, of his ascension, and, you know, talking about his coming return. So all, if you, you know, kind of accordion all of redemptive history, they're at some pretty key points, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they're not just peripheral things that are just out there that just kind of show up randomly. Can we, you know, their presence and their ministry is really significant in a redemptive way.
Especially the angel herald. You got Gabriel, Michael, and Harold. Hark the Herald
yeah,
Angel.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
Was,
huh?
That was so bad. Don't stink and high five each other.
How about that?
We're all about the dad jokes on this side of the table. Bad. So
hark the Herald.
The Herald Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry, just keep going.
Yeah. That's kind of like, you know what God's first name is.
Look what I started.
Sorry, Andy. Guys. You know, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy calls me his friend.
That might be, it's not only bad, it might be kind of blasphemous.
Yeah, it might be, actually. You might not be able to pastor anymore.
Here
you go. So many of you have said that you appreciate my leading this discussion. As you can see, I'm not, and I want to distance myself from where this
it's
is
like
going
you're babysitting,
right now.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Dad Jokes.
Just give us our crayons and our coloring books.
Okay.
While you talk about important things.
All right.
Okay, and then we also have this appearance in Exodus 3 and Genesis 16 of what's called the angel of the Lord. Mm. Somebody want to talk about what that difference is?
I don't.
You don't?
Well, I guess you've got what we would call theophanies or Christophanies in the Old Testament. Why don't you
explain what those are?
Yeah, it's an appearance of God or an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. So before Jesus was born, he's always existed prior to that. He's eternal. Uh-huh. And so there are times we believe when, you know, for instance, when Abraham, you know, entertained this angel of the Lord, mm-hmm. that it may have been Jesus himself there mm-hmm. With him. So
we have it in Daniel, too.
Yeah, Daniel. And that one is, yep. to me, I think, you know, you see the description of Jesus in Revelation, and you see the description of Daniel, yeah. and it's like, that looks like it might be the same guy.
Right.
And so it's kind of interesting that the angel of the Lord could be Jesus every mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That because it's described and given, that angel is described in a given quality. So about angels, though, they are creatures.
Creatures.
Right? Created beings.
Created yep. being. And they're created as a host, right? There's a host of angels.
Oh, lots of them.
Host of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So what's the difference between a host and a race? Like, we're a race, right?
That's a pretty good question.
Do angels procreate?
Oh gosh. Well, it depends on who you ask.
Are we talking Nephilim?
No.
Should we look at Genesis 6, or should we just keep going?
Some of them might.
Some of them might. That generally might be why they're reserved in chains and Jude.
Generally speaking, no, I would say. If you do buy into the Genesis 6 narrative, which some people might.
Some people might.
Well, and that might be a reserve to a certain class of angels, a certain group of angels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But angels as a host are a fixed number.
Yeah, sure.
There's a whole bunch of them, right? We don't know how many, but there's a lot. Okay, so let's see. Angels serve and protect us and are working for God through his created orders to accomplish spiritual ends. And in Genesis 16, the angel meets, cast out Hagar and comforts her and instructs her to go back to Abraham where she can participate in the blessings of his house. So instructing, comforting, and directing, you know, people, Hagar in this case, to, you know, who had basically been cast out and thought she was kind of done for, right? Mm-hmm. But the angel comes with a message. No, you know, you're part of this blessing in a way to go back to Abraham and so forth. So,
can I just say real quick what what I love about that kind of thing? It makes no sense that God would need to use an angel to deliver a sure. message like that.
Yes,
he could speak through a bush. He could come himself. He could send another person.
Donkey, animal.
And he's
done all of those things.
And yet he's being the creative God that he is. He uses angels. And it's kind of weird.
It tends to like diversity.
Well, it's like even
variety.
You know, he could spread the gospel, you know, a thousand different ways, yeah. and he uses knuckleheads like us
right.
to do it.
Yeah,
just the way he does things. Sometimes I don't always understand it, yeah. but I love how creative and different it is
yeah,
every time.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
somebody want to look up Isaiah 6? We're gonna. Dig into that just a little bit.
Well, you weren't moving,
so watching you.
Okay.
You owe us for that dad joke.
With respect to just answering the questions, what is it that angels do? And we just referenced Isaiah 6 just a few minutes ago. So if you want to read a few verses out of that passage that, with respect to Isaiah.
Any particular ones? There.
Well, just...
I mean, you want me to start at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if we were at the end of the chapter or the beginning. No. In the year of King Uzziah, or in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts."
And go just a little bit further.
Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, and said, "Take," or he had taken the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for."
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we see angels doing there in that passage? What is it that they're doing?
Worship.
Yeah, worshiping God.
Praising God.
Yeah.
Holy, holy, holy. Okay, what else?
Well, they obviously are ministering to us, too. I mean, you kind of see that with the, you know, he does this thing which sanctifies him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This tong thing, man, this coal thing.
Yeah. Well, and he's, for, they have a message, too.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. To Isaiah, you know, who's kind of taken back by this whole thing. And then it's actually an angel that brings the burning coal, right, to him that touches his lips. And it's kind of game changer. So angels are, I mean, this is a kind of a signature passage in the Bible. And you see angels being involved really high-end things, right? Like praising God, and we see in Revelation, you know, that they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." And then with the flying with the burning coals to Isaiah's lips in a redemptive way. I mean, this is pretty heavy-duty stuff.
That's, which I know I'm jumping ahead, but like that.
Oh, go ahead.
Like Hebrews 1:12, like 14 blows me away. I know you have it on there.
No, go ahead.
But the fact that they're ministering spirits that are sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same kind of picture that we get right there with Isaiah, where there's this practical activity that sanctifies Isaiah, right? Mm-hmm. That's for his benefit to do what God's called Isaiah to do. But they're doing that all the time. Around, like with those who God is saving, like they're all kind of doing this coal thing in a sense, to where we're brought to where we need we're brought to a sanctifying place. It's wild to think about, and then when you get to Peter, it's even more weird because, you know, Peter tells us that they're like curious about this thing. Like even though they're a part of like the gospel work that God's doing, they actually like are curious about it.
Yeah,
like they trip out on it. You know, like, well, the whole thing.
Part
is
of that,
just,
I always wondered, like,
intriguing.
Because there's no redemption for angels.
Exactly.
If they blow it, and that's the end of that. So that, you know, you're an angel, and if you blow it, you're a fallen angel, a demon. Then they see us just blowing it time and time again, seeing God be patient with us.
God's telling me to bring him another coal,
and then send Jesus to the cross to pay for our sins, to atone for our sins.
No, it's wild.
It's got to be baffling to them.
It's what I'm talking about this week in my sermon. A big chunk of it is that right there.
Oh, good.
Their curiosity, you know, and how the second person of the Trinity didn't come as an angel to save angels.
Right.
He came as a man to save men. And how we tend to, like, you know, as humans, tend to elevate angels, but God has actually elevated us above angels. It's just it's a wild thing to think about.
No, I can picture angels just standing there looking at us and just shaking their heads.
Seriously.
What in the world?
Yeah, what gives? Why? What is this?
Continual face palm.
Yeah.
But they also see God glorified in all of it. And so they're not shaking their heads. Actually, they're worshiping God.
If they're shouting, holy, holy, yeah. holy, then they're not, yeah. they're not too jealous. Right.
Yeah.
For all yeah. the power and all the things that angels are, they're not created in the image of God.
Boom. That's yeah. another. That's, okay, we need to stop
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. Yep. We don't want to walk.
Too much thunder. Too much thunder. Yeah. Right.
Sorry about that. Okay, somebody wanted to tell me about 2 Kings 6 with Elijah and Gehazi. Just run over that story real quick about another ministry of angels. Hmm. Can somebody remember that?
Mm-mm. No.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Why don't you just tell us about that?
tell us about it.
Okay.
I mean, well, if you start us in, I'll probably know what you're talking about, but yeah, I don't know what 2 Kings 6 says.
Elisha, by the way. The king was really
the chariots of fire?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
How much of it do you want me to read?
I just want you to tell the story. You know the story.
No, I don't. I don't remember it enough to tell it.
Well, so the king was really mad at Elisha because he seemed to know everything, every move the king was making, and God had set himself against the king. And so he sent his army up there to root him out. They finally found him, tracked him down. They got him huddled up in a cabin. And the king's army is descending on him. Mm-hmm. And Elijah's servant, a guy by the name of Gehazi, says, "What are we going to do?" And Elijah said, "Don't worry about it, because those that are with us are greater than those that are with him." And he's kind of, "What do you mean? It's just me and you, right. dude." And and then Elisha prayed and he said, "Open his eyes so he can see." And so the servant looked around and he saw all around them flaming chariots of fire. That's where that expression comes from, by the way, of angelic armies that were just poised to take care of. And so, as it turns out, both Gehazi and Elisha were delivered. They struck the army blind, and so they were delivered. But the point is that at the time when Gehazi was panicking, the angels were there. Were presented as a comfort to him when it seemed like they were overwhelmed. Now, I want to just ask a question. When you see, because you brought up the Hebrews mm-hmm. about ministering spirits and so forth, and when you seem overwhelmed and when you seem, when you are overwhelmed and it looks like it's just you and Gehazi, and do you often think, or how often do you think, and do you practically think that there are ministering spirits that are doing this all the time that are there to protect you and to comfort you? I mean, does that really come into our thoughts, or are we practically angel atheists? Mm. That's my question, okay?
The latter, not the former.
Agnostic, yeah. I think.
So. Is that a wrong way to put that?
Unaffiliated.
I guess... I see your point. I agree with it. But I basically, in those moments, I know God is able. And so regardless of what he uses, I know that he's not limited in his possibilities of what he uses. So am I always aware that there could be angels in the mix? No. Does it matter that much to me? No. Because I still, at the end of the day, you trust in God. And if he uses angels, great. If he uses, another person or the spirit great.
Yeah, and so actually that point was made that sometimes by not recognizing, perhaps we should, there are ministries that are commended to angels that we would just lay off on the Holy Spirit because we don't want to bother thinking about, I don't know, if we don't want to bother or we don't want to acknowledge or understand, that about the angels. So a lot of things that angels do, and of course it's by the commission of God and by the grace of God, we kind of lay off to just kind of the Holy Spirit nether sphere somewhere.
I think we'll be very surprised to find out how active they are in the mix. I really do. But as far as how we would see it or know that, there is no way to know.
Well, we do have a tendency to like to worship anything and everything, like even as Christians, know what I mean? And there's, part of the challenge of this is that those people that put too much emphasis on angels, it's almost like there's too much credit there.
Sure.
It's almost like their prayers could start going there or their victories could start being put in that in the angel column. And so we have to be really careful. And I think that's part of why I'm a little bit skeptical of just constantly thinking about what angels are doing is because I might have a tendency to elevate them beyond where they should be elevated. So I that's probably why I don't go there. However, I would say that in recent years, I have thought more about the reality of them being present all around me, like just the, you know, the spirit realm around us, the war aspect of it, meaning bad and good in that realm. And I think it's encouraging when I'm going through something challenging to know that something has my back that I can't see right now. Obviously, God does, but he's also using something on a more practical
level.
He's
assigned somebody to have your back.
And it absolutely gives confidence, for sure. It strengthens you, for sure, which I think was your point of 2 Kings. And I'm going to have to go read 2 Kings again.
But, And the angels are a big deal. And
Not that they had to be, but that they are.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, to your point though, I think you can look back to the Hebrews and the Jews' readiness, just like the rest of us, to turn anything into an idol.
Exactly.
And they had developed a really huge angelology that, you know, really went beyond. That's
and part of the reason why is because of narratives like 2 Kings, right, that we just read, is like that was all in their lore and in their history. And so, yeah, how do you not elevate the reality of seeing something like that?
And that's the challenge for us, too, is to not take that and run with it like they did.
Right.
Or on in trying to prevent against that to actually just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, totally.
But and so the Bible has this tension here for us to kind of walk, but to acknowledge.
And don't get drunk and fall off both sides of the horse.
Right. So the angels rescued Lot, right? So there's protection, there's comfort, there's messages, there's praising God. But the angels rescued Lot. In Exodus 23, it says, "Behold, I am sending an angel before you to guard you along the way." That's where the Israelites were coming out of, their on their journey to the Promised Land. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So there's rescue, there's guarding, and this stuff is happening all throughout Scripture.
The story in Daniel of the fiery furnace, you know, they throw three men in, and they're like, well, no, there's a fourth in there. Kind of looks like a son of man.
Yeah.
And, again, is that Jesus
angel
in there
of
with
the Lord,
him?
Yeah.
Angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord. And even with Daniel shutting the lion's mouth, right? Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And just to throw out that kind of extends, I think, the mystery a little bit. But what we find in Daniel 10 is that when the angel comes to answer Daniel's prayer, he said, "I was delayed by the prince of Persia," right?
Was held up.
I was held
that's
up.
That's the thing that gets me on
but
that one.
But Michael came to help me.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is just to bat around a little bit, is might this suggest that there's a domain or realm assignment, even geographical, possibly, for angels, right?
Well, there's a prince of Persia.
Yep.
Okay. He's a demon. Yep. And when you look at what's going on over...
Well, we think it is, right?
Well,
right?
It sounds like it is. When you look at everything that's going on over in that area,
it tracks.
Seems like whoever stationed there is doing a bang-up job.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like they're localized, but who knows?
Yeah. And
then different ranks, right? You mentioned Michael, like, seems to be a bouncer.
Archangel.
Right? Like, he's a bouncer. Like, he's able to handle business in a way that that other messengers
even Lucifer,
aren't able to.
When you hear how Lucifer was described, he was more beautiful than all the other angels. And so there are categories or differences in them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you look at how creative God is, even in the way that we're made, everybody very different, very unique, you know, different fingerprints, right down to things like that. The angels are probably similarly unique.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not a stretch to say that there are ranks and positions, you know, in the angelic
specialties.
So let me ask another one about this. That you hear a lot, and that is about guardian angels. So in Matthew 18:10, can somebody explain where that kind of thought of a guardian angel comes from?
Go back.
Somebody want to read Matthew? It's all in one verse there in
Matthew
18:10.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the children? Yep. I'm just reading off your paper.
Okay.
Go ahead. I got it. Oh, I did put that down, didn't I?
I got sorry. It says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think if a man, and then it goes into the, if you know, the 100 sheep and so forth, but that idea that, that you've got like the angels that are looking at the face of God, and then when he wants to dispatch them, like God is looking out and seeing everything that's going on, and when he sees something that's needed or whatever, it's like, okay, you go there, you go there, you go there.
But it's the way it's personalized. It's, yep.
Their angels
is extremely intriguing.
Yeah.
We could almost assume that each child, I mean, even each of us, but here, that each child has an assigned angel or an angel assigned to them. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Or some of us might have two or three.
Some of us need more.
You know,
I need
two
or three.
Some of my grandkids needed a gaggle. Need a whole host.
A legion.
I needed a host.
Yeah. All right. Well, so.
We may need to do demons next week, by the way.
I was going to say, or you can start now because we're about. Past the halfway point.
Are you going to be here next week? Actually, it's Halloween week. That'll be perfect, dude.
No, David. Stop it.
All right, let's go.
We're already in enough trouble.
It's up to you.
All appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking about, remember that show, Highway to Heaven?
I remember the title.
Michael Landon and...
is that what it was called?
Mr. Edwards. I don't know his actual name. But
I never watched it.
He was an angel that was
I was probably reading my Bible, Chad. What were you doing?
No, I was watching Highway to Heaven as a kid.
There was another one in the 80s that was super popular. That was an angel.
Touched by an Angel.
Touched
by an Angel. Oh, that was it.
But Highway to Heaven, I think if I remember right, the premise was that Michael Landon was an angel that was maybe kind of in a little bit of trouble with God.
Okay.
And so he was like sent to Earth, and he'd just go around and help people. Be their guardian angel.
Attaboy, Clarence.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Edwards was his buddy that was just a mere mortal, but they hung out together and they helped people together.
And those are more formative, I think, of our ideas about angels or our tendency to just kind of want to distance ourselves from the whole thing because it gets all messed up, right?
Right.
So let me ask this question. If angels protect, guard, minister, if they rescue... and all these different things that we see, can we count on angels to get us out of every scrape?
Well, no, because we know that we don't get out of every scrape. So,
yeah,
I mean, stands to reason, no.
So angels are not necessarily advancing what our agenda would be.
Right.
Is that fair?
No, they're advancing what God's agenda is, and sometimes God wants us to go through scrapes and allows those things to happen.
Yeah.
So nothing is outside of God's purview. That was for Chad. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
But, you know.
Again, if you consider like Hebrews, chapter 1, like we talked about, verse 14, that they're ministering spirits that aid us in those who are, then everything's that direction, right? Like the end game is salvation for those who are God's chosen, which doesn't mean getting out of scrapes. It might mean getting into certain scrapes,
what
I mean? And then being protected through those scrapes. So it's important for us to know what the end goal is. Yeah. It's not our end goal. It's his end goal for our greatest
and
good.
And that's really important to remember as we think about angels is that they are there to promote and to, to see through, God's will. In our lives and his plan, for the world, they've got a big agenda, that is bigger than, the particular thing that I'm facing. But if we need delivery, if we need protection, if we need rescue, it could very well be that unseen angel or angels that are helping us because we see, like for instance, when Peter got locked up, we remember in Acts. When he got locked up, angels, were his get out of jail free card so that Peter could go do what?
Yeah.
Go back to jail.
Go back, go back to jail. But then after he got the second time, then he went where?
Yeah.
Okay. So back out to preaching the gospel. Yeah. So, okay. There's one other thing that I want to point out about angels, and it's, I don't know. We can parse this verse out a little bit. It says that there is a rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents in the presence of the angels. Mm. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm reminded of what we were talking about earlier. Just, you know, when they look at what a mess we are, they might be shaking their heads at times and thinking, why do you put up with these people? But then when somebody is redeemed by the work of Jesus, there's rejoicing. I mean, it's almost like when we hear somebody's testimony, when we hear about somebody who's been miraculously saved, we do it. I don't think, you know, how can you help but do it? Mm-hmm. And so they're doing it too. And it's all because, you know, they're amazed at God and his ability to save. Mm-hmm. Not really amazed at us so much, but like, wow, look at what God did.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts about that? Because no. I've always thought about, you know, the angels rejoicing, but when you look at that verse, you can say that it actually says that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Mm. Doesn't say necessarily that the angels themselves are rejoicing, but who is in their presence?
Yeah, the redeemed.
Yeah, and God.
Yeah.
God is rejoicing, Father, and the Son, angels and get to see. Yeah, yeah, get to see God rejoicing over this mess.
A Trinitarian high five.
Yeah, and the angels get to, you know, they get to see a part of that. So, nice. What should our response be to the presence and ministry of angels? If you said that we're agreed confessionally that we are more angel atheists than we probably should be, what should our attitude and our response be to the fact that God has provided this and it's so plain in the scripture? Run with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you touched upon it earlier when you said that we kind of go to extremes, right? Either, you know, kind of make it everything or make it nothing. And so we don't need to do that, but it is in the Bible, right? Angels are, to your earlier point, throughout scripture. So we ought to believe it. We ought to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, you know, how to thread the needle of, you know, making it too much or not enough and, you know, trying to figure that out in the middle, but realizing and believing that God does use angels in the way that we see them being used in the Bible, and having an openness to it.
Okay.
I mean, again, I don't know how to answer this exactly because it goes back to, I would say we should be grateful to God that they exist and that they're doing what they do, even though we don't see it or understand it. Right. It's another tool that God has in his arsenal to keep us alive and well and moving in the direction he wants us to go. And so I'm just, you know, as we're thanking God, as we're worshiping him, that's just one more thing to be aware of that we can thank him for. I don't know how to be more aware of their presence or more aware of the reality. But knowing that it's real just means my worship increases.
Well, just
not to angels, but to God.
Yeah. as you think about the Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, and not particularly about that, but that the fact that that just says that we are, or acknowledges that we are in a withering, constant battle. I remember Walter Martin used to say that if it wasn't for the grace of God and the ministry that God has given us, and maybe through unseen spirits, through his angels, that if it wasn't for that, because of Satan's designs on us, none of us would see tomorrow's sunrise. Mm. We'd all be gone, wiped out completely because, and we can get into this a little bit later, about the demons hating the image of God.
Later, so, meaning next week.
Next week.
Well,
we're not getting there today, buddy.
Okay. So
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you guys ever, like, if you took Hebrews chapter 13 to mean angelic rather than just a human minister?
Minister, right.
Does that change the way you guys live? Have you guys ever, like, walked around conscious of that, like, tripping out on the possibility?
Yeah. Absolutely. That we might be entertaining angels.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, we got, you know, we've jokingly talked about, you know, I can't say it because.
Can't say it?
Well.
Don't say it.
No, there's been times when we interact with people.
Yes.
And you're wondering, like, what's going on here? Is this a test of some kind? Is God just seeing how I'm going to treat this person? Yes. To find out if I'm, because it seems just like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This has got to be some kind of weird right. test.
Yeah. Something funny going on here.
Yeah. Anyway,
this is the premise of Highway to Heaven. what are you talking about?
thanks for the contribution.
I'm going to have to go stream that.
Yeah. I've also heard about people.
Don't get your hopes up.
Stories like these don't always, you know, they're stories, but I've heard so many of them now that, you know, a woman who gets in a car wreck, she's off the side of the road, she's barely alive, she's waiting for somebody to come, and there's somebody there with her, comforting her there.
Yeah, Michael Landon.
And then you know,
when, don't get your theology from highway to heaven.
Anyway. When the paramedics arrive, there, you know, she's like, "Where did that person?" And they're like, sure. "When we got here, there was you, it was just you." I don't know what to do with that kind of stuff, but I love that that God cares about us so much that He might do something like that. It's just amazing to me that you know He would want you to be comforted and not alone in a time like that, and so He sends a physical presence of an angel in a way that we cannot be freaked out.
You know? I also wonder what the warning is too. Because there, it is a little bit of a warning behind the Hebrews 13 thing. Like, be careful.
And the warning is.
Right? And it's like, why? What's going to happen if I blow it? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to punch me? Or, you know, are they going to leave me? Or, they gonna, you know. Sorry. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything. It's just a curiosity.
No, it is weird. It's weird to think about. And, you know, somebody walks into your church one Sunday and the way you go about treating them, you know, and they may be there one time and never come back.
It kind of just makes you want to bring your A game, like when you leave the house.
All the time.
Yeah.
We had that happen.
An angel visited your church?
Well, okay. So my wife was convinced that this guy was an angel. I mean, it was really off the wall of this guy. And he interacted with several of our families. Everything about him was just weird, totally weird. But he, sweet guy, you know, sang. He had an angelic voice, I'll say that. And my wife, for years, and then he moved, and actually he just kind of disappeared the same as he you know, had appeared as you know, mysteriously kind of.
That's what Michael Landon
did. We found him back in Indiana, and my wife was still convinced that he was an angel until he got married and had kids.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then were I said, really now tall? Do you
but then when they grew, they were really big and mighty men of renown.
What's that?
Did the kids have a glow about them?
The glow about them. No, I don't know. But we just know that.
Did they have?
That's when she finally gave it up, because it was so mysterious, and his presence and his weirdness impacted our families in a different way, and kind of brought up some odd things in between us. And it was just kind of like, is this that test?
We've also loved on the guy.
But we just couldn't get our arms around him, you know. And then
no, that verse has tripped me out so much that it does make me kind of bring my A game when I go into public. You know what I mean? And when I meet people, or even when I see a homeless person, like I'm serious. This is going to sound funny, but like if there's a panhandler or something going on in the corner, there's times it's like, dang, that might be an angel. I better stinking, you know, get into my wallet. You know, like I'll trip out on things sometimes. I will. All right.
I was going to say, we've also had non-angels walk into our churches at times.
Clearly, not angels.
When I've wondered what's going on. Yeah, messengers of Satan to buffet us.
Oh, you mean the other guys?
Yeah, the other guys.
We've had the other guys
for next week.
No, just I remember one dude walked in one time wearing a robe. He kind of looked like Hagrid.
Well, he used to come to my Bible study.
Yeah, he did. I didn't know who he was at that time, but he came in and told one of the families that their son was demonic. And they were offended by that, but
you mean the dude that had
the dude wasn't wrong.
Permanent tattoo, like, makeup.
Yeah,
yeah. He came for a while. Yeah, he was interesting.
Yeah, always. I know he wasn't a demon.
I mean, over the years we've had
I know
some
he wasn't a demon,
people.
But he was definitely influenced.
Okay.
Well, since Brent has insisted that we take this to a second week, you know, right?
Well, it's 10:50. What are we going to do?
Yeah. All right. I'll tell a story in a run up that one of the guys that was on the podcast that kind of gave rise to this tells about in his church. A guy came in, sat down in the back. There was maybe a congregation of 100 people or so, and he sat down in the back, and he looked like he was really kind of uncomfortable. And when the pastor got up and delivered, it was like the first line of his message. The guy had a cane, and he banged it on the floor, and he stood up and he said, "This man is preaching the word of God, and you don't care. You people don't care." And he just walked out. And it was just kind of like they didn't know what to do. So they prayed, and then they kind of went on with their service. So fast forward 8 months or so, and the pastor's sitting in his office, and a guy comes in and sits down, and it's the guy. Mm. And he said, you know, you remember me? And he said, yeah, I sure do. and he said, you know, well, you know, I had a little bit of a drinking problem, but I've really been getting into the Word of God. And so he proceeded to talk about how, you know, people just aren't listening and blah, 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 and they're no good and so forth. And the pastor said, I recognized then that that was demonic, not necessarily a possession, but it was demonic influence, because what this guy was doing was saying that nobody in that church was worthy of being there. Hmm. How anti-gospel is that? And the pastor said, I know these people. He said, I you know, live with them and work with them and preach to them and pray with them and love them and forgive them and are forgiven by them. And I walk with them. And I know that they're not perfect, but I know that there are people there that are trusting in the gospel. And so he said, I was able to identify at that moment that that guy coming in, not with a message of just condemnation, where, you know, but all, you know, which could be followed by a gospel, you know, which lifts people up again. This was just condemnation and out the door. And he said, that is demonic. You know, it is. And so I thought, wow, you know, so this is kind of a run up to next
this
week.
This is actually, I'm kind of happy that we're doing it next week, honestly. Like, I don't mean
to. Did you tell him that?
No.
I am.
I don't, like, not to, like, we have such wrong ideas of what's actually demonic, and sometimes it's intentional. Like, sometimes we willfully go, oh, that's demonic, and it's conveniently something that we're not doing every day or struggling with. Mm-hmm. And I love looking, like your example just now, of something that's actually demonic.
Yeah.
I think people need help in parsing what's what, because
sure.
we do a bad job of it.
Well, even the idea that Satan presents himself as an angel of light. Sure. So that means you're going to hear things that are going to sound
good.
That's
sound
right.
good.
Yeah.
Even though they're going to be leading you away from God, he's crafty. And so I just don't think we really,
he's not
going
to jump
that.
Out from behind a bush and scare you. That does nothing to you. Right. He's going to actually present something that entices you into something that's godless.
And we see that right in the beginning in the garden when he lured Adam and Eve away from God. Did God really say? And this is his tactic. And so us knowing,
and he seemed like he was for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When again, for us angel agnostics, I don't know about you, but I think I'm like most people, that when you think about demons, you think about the dramatic, the foaming at the mouth,
right?
The, you know, doing things that are violent and, you know, just outrageous and things like that. And so we tend to box everything in that box instead of realizing the far more subtle, right, and good, right, tools that they use to turn against. So that's what we'll be talking about next week is about demonic, not just possession, but in oppression and influence in all of our lives, and how subtle it is. And so go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I would recommend, you got a week right now to do this.
Yeah.
If you're out there listening and you want to kind of prepare for next week, obviously we want people to read their Bibles, but if you've never read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, it's a great run up to what we're going to be talking about. And I know you're going to quote that next time because it's relevant, but I would encourage people to take a look at that.
Yeah. The Screwtape Letters, which is right on point about that. So,
It goes right along with what we're saying.
Yeah, it does. And so that's kind of our run-up for next week. And I do look forward to it, because the other backside, if you want to look at it that way, of angels is fallen angels and demons, and the activity that we know about with demons that's pretty clear in the Bible can help us do the very thing we were talking about before, is how do we appreciate, have gratitude, and kind of get our arms around a little bit about the ministry of these angels, because there are battles between them, right, that are being fought on our behalf.
Yeah, if we believe our Bibles.
Right. So anyway, tune in, right?
Next week.
Yeah. Oh, let me give you that thing one more time, the address on that. It's solamedia.org/offers, and check for the book. It's a download free book called The War We Can't See. good stuff on angels and demons, what the Bible has to say about them.
Right on. Lord, thank you for our time today. Help us, Lord, to be content with what we can know about this subject rather than discontent with what we don't know. Help us to be sobered by the reality of what's going on around us all the time, and help us to be grateful that you have provided and outfitted us with ministering beings that have our back as we walk through this life, that we're not alone, but that you have just provided what we need to see you. And so, yeah, we appreciate this time. Amen.
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 Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.